Hi, guys. You are listening to the Oh Crap Potty Training podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Glowacki. I am the author of Oh Crap Potty Training and Oh Crap, I Have a Toddler. So today, I want to talk about limit testing behavior and potty training. And I'm going to read a question because I think it pretty much encapsulates the whole issue here. So, dear Jamie, I've just reread your section on potty training versus behavior because my son was doing so well, but has recently gone very backwards. He's weed and pooed in the potty pretty well for a while now with prompting. He is now 26 months and we started at 20 months. But over Christmas, he started to wee his pants, not just little dribbles, but full wees, and even had a couple of poos in his pants. Poos have always gone in the potty since we started. This has now become him pushing a wee out, even if he doesn't need it, in his pants or on the floor, and running off laughing. When I read this chapter of your book, I worried, as you were very sure it's anger, but he is laughing and amused by it and not really any other emotions. I'm feeling it's more that he just finds it funny. What do you think? And do you have any advice on how to deal with this as it's very hard to keep cool when you're cleaning up tiny wee after wee all day long? Okay. So this comes under limit testing, and this is for the child who, like this little one, is just pushing wee out because they find it's funny, or pooping on purpose, yes, or the child who looks right at you and says, I'm going to pee on the couch, right? Some kids will do that. I'm going to pee on the floor. And it's almost like they're saying, what are you going to do about it? And that's exactly what they're saying. So limit testing at its core is about testing the limit, which means they're really saying, what are you going to do about it? Now, that can sound very contentious. That can sound like your child's like putting up their dukes. They're not. It's like if you take all emotionality out of it, what's happening is they're literally thinking, what are you going to do about this? They are asking for a clear boundary, and they're going to push that boundary, and they'll keep pushing it until you say no. I talk about this a lot in my other podcast, my parenting podcast. Boundaries are the key to parenting. Just relentless consistency with boundaries and holding firm. And I liken it to, you know, we put a fence in our yard, right? Because we don't want our children wandering around, right? So we let them out in a fenced yard, if you have a fenced yard, right? The reason we put up a fence is because they need that boundary. Kids don't understand the ramifications of going into the street and potentially getting hurt or killed by a car. They don't understand the ramifications of wandering off and getting lost and you can't find them. So we fence them in. Now, does that mean that your child's going to be happy with the fence? No, a lot of kids will sit there at the fence, rattling the fence, let me out, let me out, let me out. But eventually they will realize the yard is fenced in and they will start to play within the yard. So those are boundaries. That's like a physical boundary. We do this with emotional stuff and with rules in our house. We create these boundaries and our kids are going to rattle that fence. They're going to poke and push because they have to make sure that we are psychologically safe. What is psychologically unsafe for a child is when we continually move the boundary. We continually push it back, and then they don't know where they stand. They don't know the rules. And if they are in control and they are, you know, they're floundering, they have no rules, no boundaries, nobody telling them what the rules are, nobody telling them no, then it's a free-for-all. And I've literally seen kids being parented with no boundaries because, you know, the parenting pendulum swings and we went through this like super permissive parenting phase that people misconstrued as gentle parenting. And so what happens is I would see these kids, like I'll see them out in the community or on the playground. And do you remember the snake from the original Jungle Book? He had these like crazy hypnotic eyes that like circled. That's what these kids look like to me. Like their eyes are circling and encircling and circling because it's crazy making for a child. It is psychologically unsafe. And so they start reacting with bigger and bigger behavior. When we are talking about these kids who will look you in the eye and say, I'm going to pee on the couch, or I'm going to pee in the car, or I'm going to pee on you, or they literally start peeing places that they never peed before, squeezing out pee, or like proudly peeing, you know, spreading their legs on, you know, on your living room carpet and peeing. This is limit testing. They are asking you, what are you going to do about it? And again, not in this like really contentious manner. If you just suck the emotion out of that sentence, literally, what are you going to do? What are you going to do if I pee on the couch? That's what they're asking you. Okay. So in these scenarios, you have to have some sort of either natural or external consequence, or a, you know, we start with a very stern voice. And a lot of times that will help with some kids, but some kids are like, F you, take your stern voice and put it somewhere. So in this scenario, what, mama, what are you going to do? Now, I don't necessarily always feel comfortable what disciplining looks like in your house, disciplining meaning to teach. So I always say, take it out of the potty training arena, because the potty training arena gets very thick with like, I don't want to cause psychological damage. I don't want to ruin the process. So we get very convoluted in the potty training process. So with a child like this mama, I would say, what would you do if your child took their glass of milk at dinner, got down off the table and just poured the milk on the couch? What would you do? That's what you're going to do for the child who is peeing on purpose. Sometimes it takes a consequence. Now, in my book, I recommend toy timeouts. You can, if the child is playing with something or, you know, they have a toy out, you could put it in a timeout. It's a sort of manufactured consequence, to be sure. But sometimes there is no natural consequence, right? Like, what's the natural consequence of your kid peeing on the floor? Maybe they will help you clean it up. A lot of kids enjoy that, so it's not really a consequence. So sometimes we have to enact these external consequences. I don't like a human timeout. I don't think human timeouts are effective, and I think they cause more revenge pees. A lot of kids will get into timeout, and either because of high emotion, they'll pee their pants or, you know, wet the floor, or as an FU, you know, they're angry at you and they will do like a revenge pee. So I don't recommend a human timeout, but a toy timeout is pretty basic. You take a toy, you put it on top of the fridge for 10 minutes, and it's very manufactured. Like, even if the child isn't playing with it, you know, it might seem like really arbitrary, but the child will kind of feel the sting. Now, there is a lot of confusion, and I hear from a lot of parents, when and if you do a toy timeout, we do not take the child's lovey. We do not take a snuggly that they cuddle up with at bed. We do not take a lovey, nothing like that. Nothing like a pacifier, anything that's self-soothing. We don't do that with toy timeouts, because that's just mean. And we're not looking to be mean. We're just looking to enact a little bit of a consequence for their action. You do this, I do that. Generally speaking, I would say most kids react really well with a stern voice and a clear set of what to be expected. So I'm going to pee on the couch. No, you're not. We don't pee on the couch. We put pee in the potty, and you know better. Let's not be silly. You can use that tone and just shut it down. A lot of times kids will go through these phases of, what are you going to do about it? Like Pascal went through a really funny one where it was, what would you do if I fell off that cliff? Or what would you do if I fell down the sewer? What would you do if I, you know, he had all these like fantastical things. And then one day he asked me, he said, what would you do if I died? Oh my God, this was so funny. He was young. He was very, very into death. So he knew a lot of death terms. So I had said, you know, he said, what would you do if I died? And I said, oh my goodness, I think I would have to leave. I think I'd have to go somewhere where like, nobody knew me. I wouldn't be able to handle like all the well wishes. Like it would just be, I just have to go be by myself. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And he goes, mom, I really think your best bet here would be suicide. And I was like, oh, the right answer is I will kill myself if you die. And so he was more than satisfied with that answer. So I guess he wasn't so young. He must've been like 7 or 8, but anyway, they go through these phases, right? Of like, what would you do? And sometimes they're vocal. What would you do? And sometimes their actions, which is like, I'm going to pee on the couch. And so again, the stern voice, no, you're not. We don't do that. Pee goes in the potty. You know better than this, and leave it at that. If that doesn't work, then we enact an external consequence. Now, as this mama mentioned, a lot of times there is anger. So a child will react, like I said, in a timeout, or if you reprimand them, they may react in anger with that revenge pee. And that is to be treated the same way as if your child like either said F you or like stuck their middle finger up. However you would deal with that, this is how I would deal with the potty training, this issue. Again, I don't feel comfortable. Maybe whatever you would do in your home, that is what I would do in these situations, because that anger is, it's like, oh yeah, you're going to put me in a timeout. I'm going to do this. And so it is a contentious, they are kind of saying F you. There is also another kind of anger where, you know, like this mama mentioned him pooping in his pants, and I would dive a little bit into that, because sometimes a child can be constipated and or slight withholding, and it creates a pattern that makes them poop in their pants. And a lot of times what a child will do when they're not doing something well is go to anger. They may seem angry because they're angry at themselves, or they don't quite understand what's happening. And so there's some shame under there layered with anger. So I would, before any behavior in potty training, I would really take a look and do a little bit of a dive. Is this truly behavior, or is it something physical? So with, you know, sometimes let's look at like cluster accidents, right? So a child can do really well in potty training, and out of the blue, they have these cluster accidents. That's indicative of a poop blockage. They come out of the blue. The child's unaware of it. It takes everybody by surprise. They're usually a lot of accidents in a few days. And so there can be a poop blockage that is banging against the bladder. So that might require like a Miralax clean out. So you do want to do a little bit of investigative work to make sure it is actually behavior, because I'd hate to give a kid an external consequence and it's something that they can't control. And a lot of times what happens, excuse me, is a kid, when they can't control something, they will go to either anger or that humor, like, oh, I meant to do that. I meant to pee on the floor. Another big thing is teething. If your child is teething their molars, and or there's been a time change or like jet lag from a trip, that can cause a lot of little accidents too. And so you wanna kind of make sure that you've taking care of the physical things. There's all kinds of things that could affect pee out of the blue. Mostly, like I said, time change, jet lag, teething, sickness, like an oncoming sickness. And sometimes there is like a food sensitivity, like gluten in particular can irritate the bladder, causing a lot of little pee accidents. But that would not necessarily be like out of the blue, unless you typically don't eat a whole lot of wheat and then all of a sudden like went out for pizza and, you know, had a lot of wheat, then that could potentially be something. But there are a myriad of things that it could be. But you want to do, again, a little bit of a deep dive just to make sure it is actually behavior. And if your child is suddenly pooping their pants, that can be indicative of constipation. And people tend to think that constipation is the inability to poop at all. And it's not. Constipation comes in a couple of different forms. It can be, they can be backed up and then not have the right sensation. And so they can start having poop accidents. So that's how I would deal with that. Generally speaking, though, a lot of times this is just that limit testing, particularly if there's like, you can tell it with your kid. It's like a mischievous quality, right? Like there's a little twinkle in their eye that they're like, I'm going to test the waters on this one. So I would say a lot of times, you know, it's behavior because it's affecting you with behavior. If it's not behavior and it's just accidents out of the blue, you tend to feel like hopeless and lost. You're like, what the heck is going on? Whereas when it's behavior, again, you have that like, I can't describe it other than mischievous and like that little twinkle in their eye that's like, they're going to push some buttons. All right. I hope that was helpful. As always, you guys, I appreciate you listening and I hope you have a beautiful day. Rock on.